All right, listen, we're going to get into the new topic here in a minute. What's the big deal? That's what I'm calling it. Dipper number two is, what's the big deal? Well, there was a big deal announced today. The Trump administration is, you know, we're doing these tariffs, right? Now, listen, I was dubious of this, too. I look at this and I thought, okay, I get it, but wow, across the board? But here's one of the things I'm not hearing other people say. Do keep in mind, Trump controls his own destiny with this. This is not something that was thrust upon us. It was something that he instigated, which means that he can also, you know, reel back on it, which he's actually done. He issued the tariffs right away. They have a 10% across the board, all countries tariff. And then he went back and had his people calculate how best to configure a tariff related to each individual country based upon their trade imbalance with the United States. Trade imbalance, if you're not familiar, basically means they get more out of the trade with us than we do. And that is about as simple a definition as I can tell you. We have a massive trade imbalance with some of our biggest allies in the world just hosing us. Like, for instance, you can look at Japan. Japan has a 700% tariff on American rice. Did you know that? A 700% tariff on American rice. Well, what they're doing is it's a self-protection measure. They've got their, you know, rice farmers, and they want to protect their rice farmers. And so they're basically making it impossible to buy American rice. That happens across the board. We see it with trade imbalances on steel, on autos, on agricultural. We see it, all of it. We even see it on energy sector. We see it on things that are mined. We see it on all of it. So there are nations right now that are supposedly our best friends, Canada being an example, who wind up sticking it to us, and then we wind up losing out, but nobody ever says anything about it because we're so big that we'll get by and never mind, it's okay, they're still our friend. Are they? Do friends keep reaching in your pocket and taking money? Is it your friend who comes over and borrows the lawnmower and never brings it back? Is that really a friend? You know what I'm saying? That's what it feels like sometimes. So Trump decided, enough of that. How about, like, no more? How about, like, we're putting everybody on notice? We're not going to be selective. And what I like is he didn't just say, I'm doing this to Iran. I'm doing this to China. I'm doing this to Russia. No, he said, I'm doing this to, by God, everybody. So the tariffs went out. Whew. Some people bowed up. China immediately put 125% tariff on American goods. Okay. China's economy, though, cannot sustain this the same way ours can. We also have, oh, by the way, some friends who immediately said, hey, let's talk. And they came to the table immediately. In fact, 70 countries within the first 48 hours of the tariffs came to the table immediately. So much so that Trump said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to suspend those tariffs for 90 days while we work out a new deal. And if we work out the new deal, I'll just lift them all together. What was funny was when he slapped the tariffs on and everybody realized he was serious and it was across the board, Wall Street went bananas. Wall Street had like a Black Monday. It was just like God awful. It was amazing. 2 days later, with the liberal media saying, Trump just crashed the market. 2 days later, he says, you know what? Let's do a 90-day moratorium. I've got 70 countries in negotiations all of a sudden. The market had one of its best rallies in market history. So yeah, what you're seeing is the tariff wars are a big deal. Things are starting to cost more. There is an economic price to pay. If we're not careful, it could go on too long, and I do believe that. However, at the moment, what we're watching is something that Trump actually controls the flow on. It's like a spigot. He can turn it on. He can turn it off. He controls a spigot. I do not feel like for a second we're going to crash our economy. I think we're going to be better on the far end of this. In the meantime, we'll come back from this break and we'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. So bottom line is we've got plenty to talk about here with trade. But I just got handed to me by none other than JP. a list of the UK trade deal things that I get into here momentarily. Let me tell you a couple things, though, to think about. Just so as you know, experts agree, and these are even on conservative venues, experts agree that we are staring at a potential of what's known as stagflation. Stagflation, but it's not saying we're there yet. It's just saying that stagflation is something that could, if we persist with the trade tariffs, that we could very well see stagflation, which, okay, so just to remind you, stagflation is basically like it's where consumer prices rise, you get a weak labor market, high inflation is still there. Basically, economic growth becomes stagnant. So it's not like everything's bad. It's just that it's getting like kind of lackadaisical, like there's no wind in the sails. We got some recent economic data. I got this piece off of Fox Business. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Recent economic data has added to the concerns about the potential onset of stagflation. Data released last week by the Commerce Department shows that U.S. gross domestic product contracted at an annual rate of 0.3% in the first quarter. That's the first time it's contracted since 2022. So the first time in 3 years, first quarter 22, the first time in 3 years we've seen true economic data showing a contraction in our GDP. That's interesting. Well, we got multiple experts so decided in the article. One of them is a guy named David Bonson. He works for the Bonson Group, which is a major wealth management firm. He says, I don't believe the price increases are going to be permanent because I think the Trump administration will do a walk back on some of the big tariffs they've been threatening. But I do believe the far bigger issue, he said, is stagnation, which is what the slowdown in economic growth is going to be called because of policies. So there's going to be a tipping point where even though we're not fully feeling the prices in the supermarket as much, the fact is goods are slowing down, shelves are not quite as stocked, and then you got a problem with people also having economic indicators in their personal life, and you get this kind of hush falls over the economy, and you don't want that because then you have to actually light the fires to get it going again. You want to catch this before it goes too far down the road. Got a piece also from Newsmax. Ford is hiking prices on Mexican-produced models, citing the tariffs. All right, well, I know that was part of the plan, was to drive production back to the United States. But right now, Ford is still in a place where, because of NAFTA from years ago, they still build vehicles across border lines, and they're now having to look at about a $2.5 billion in overall cost increase for 2025, and so they're going to raise their prices by as much as $2,000 on certain models of cars because parts of them are made in Mexico. Okay. Analysts say, according to Newsmax, that U.S. auto sales could drop by more than 1 million vehicles a year if tariffs are continuing to remain in place. All right. But then today happened. And I don't want to say today changed everything, but today gave an indicator that things can change. Today, Donald Trump announced that he had a brand new big trade deal to announce, and sure enough, he did. Our very first announcement comes with the United Kingdom. So the UK, being one of our great allies, and he even celebrated it that way, he said, because of our longtime history and allegiance together, it's a great honor to have the United Kingdom as our first announcement. Many other deals in serious stages of negotiation to follow. So what's in this deal? And by the way, who else is going to follow? And I got a few guesses on that. I'll tell you that in a minute. But this is what JP just sent me. And let's see if I got time to break it. I think I got a few minutes. So first of all, the UK trade with the United States is pretty big. We also have great history. But we now are being given unprecedented access to the markets in the UK for everything from ethanol and beef and cereals and fruits and vegetables. Things like animal feed, tobacco, soft drinks, chemicals, machinery, all kinds of stuff. Things that were limited in scope because they over-tariffed to keep our goods from flooding their market where they wanted to work with their domestic providers. We're now being given more access. Airplane parts. We're watching Boeing is getting a big, like a $10 billion procurement order now. Quotas on UK auto exports. Pharmaceuticals, securing the supply chain for pharmaceuticals back and forth. Steel and aluminum. We're putting tariffs, but we're putting quotas in. So you can't, at a certain point, they won't be able to tariff because they've hit a quota. We're watching like this. UK did have tariffs on American goods at 5.1%. They are dropping theirs to 1.8%. The U.S. was down at 3.4%. We're for at least a while going to be increasing our tariffs on their goods to 10% to try and even the trade imbalance. So that's significant. What we're looking at is we're going to generate roughly $6 billion in revenue to the United States just on tariffs with Great Britain. At the same time, we're going to see $5 billion in new export revenues sending things over there that we weren't able to send much of before. Okay, that's the way this works. It's like just swapping stuff back and forth, but making sure one side is not getting the lion's share of the swapping. If you're going to work with us, if you want our stuff, then you got to quit making it burdensome for our stuff to even get there. And if you want to send your stuff to us, just understand, if you're going to make our stuff hard to get, we're going to have to make your stuff hard to get. And we'd rather just even the playing field. And that's what just happened today with Great Britain. Now, when we get back from the break, I'll tell you, there's a few other countries in the wings right now and a few other trade negotiations that are ongoing that I think are pretty interesting. And I'll tell you who they are, and I'll tell you what I think may happen. But I'm not going to be a bit surprised to start seeing more of these rolling out. He says they are. I don't think it's puffery. I think it's real. But we'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean down to that lovest little village on the plains we like to call Auburn. And then straight across the border to what we now get to call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. And then there's all y'all out there on the internet streaming the show live on all our various platforms. Thank you very much. Hey, by the way, let me just say this, a couple of shameless plugs. You ready? Shameless plugs. First of all, we do a lot here at Right Side Media. So Right Side Radio is this one production of Right Side Media, the overall company. I'd love for you to please check out our website, rightsidemedia.org. You got all our stuff on there, all our podcasts. You can live stream the show from there. You got our social media connections. You got our shop on there where you can buy coffee mugs, t-shirts, hats, all of it. So check out rightsidemedia.org. That's the website, and see what you find. I think you'll like it. That being said, yesterday my latest podcast came out. This one's called Activist Judges. So my podcast is called Right Philosophy. I film it from my house. I love the quality of it. I enjoy the production level. But I also really enjoy the opportunity to do, if you're like my monologues at the beginning of the show, picture that about double in scope and me having, you know, something to say about various topics. And this time it was activist judges. So Right Philosophy, latest edition. Up on the website now. You can also find it on YouTube and all our other platforms. And here's my one more shameless plug. My request, my ask, please click subscribe, like, or follow on whatever platform you happen to be on, because that is more than just like an attaboy to us. That actually allows us to grow, because the more people subscribe on YouTube or follow on social media or hit like on something to generate the algorithm's work, the more those platforms let us do. And we're a growing company, and folks are paying attention, and it means something to us when y'all do that. So thank you very much. All right, let me jump back in. Jeremy from Madison says, Brexit bore new fruit today. Yes, it did. By the way, one of my favorite speeches ever is Nigel Farage. You know what I'm talking about?
I love Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage is just amazing. I love that guy. He's hilarious. He's got that dry British wit. Mm-hmm. I met him in person in D.C.
Really?
Yeah. And I think he had a few. He actually stood up on a chair to pontificate for a minute.
Like a true Englishman.
Yes, exactly. But one of my favorite speeches of all time is when the Brexit vote occurred and he went back as the representative to the EU. Have you seen that speech?
I probably have.
This may have to be homework for you.
Yeah.
He stood there and he goes, right, 12 years ago, I told all of you that this day would come, and you laughed at me. You're not laughing now, are you? And he went on to say things like, I realize I'm talking to a group of people, many of whom have not held a proper job in their entire lives. And he just laid waste to him for a while.
I wish he could be prime minister.
I think the day may be coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so Jeremy says Brexit bore more on our fruit today. I agree. The fact that they were not mired to the negotiations with the EU meant that they had the ability to do free and fair negotiations one-on-one unilaterally with the United States, and it worked. So, Jeremy, thank you. Great text. Dustin from Hillsboro says, when Trump put the tariffs on, there was a sell-off. Were those folks who were part of the sell-off essentially people who have been against our economy? I don't know, but they were certainly people who were premature in their thinking. I mean, basically, you don't lose until you sell.
You know what they were? They were panickins.
Panickins! I had forgotten about panickins. Can we do it again? Panickins! The screaming goat sound effect for panickins. That's actually a goat, which is hilarious.
We made that sound effect for those people exactly.
We did. We did. All right. Who's coming next? What big deals can we see next? There is reason to believe that one of the next major trade negotiation deals would be one of several countries. I think South Korea is possible. I think Japan is possible. And I think India is certainly one that is possible. India is the most populated nation in the entire world. I did not know that. I thought it was China. It's India. But Trump said the other day, he said, I think we'll have a deal with India. The prime minister, as you know, was here 3 weeks ago. They want to make a deal. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has been to the White House several times, and he and Trump apparently have a really good relationship. India's economy is a huge piece of the U.S. import-export economy. And so I suspect that we're going to see some type of a major negotiation with India. Watch for that to be coming up next. Piece on CNBC here. Phil, did you go to CNBC? I did. Because I'll go to these places so you don't have to. But I hold it right here in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the U.S. might be closing in on a trade deal with the most populous country in the world, India. But the White House also says substantial talks have occurred with Japan. And so, yeah, I look at it and go, okay, indications are India, Japan, South Korea. If we get South Korea and Japan, that's the Eastern Rim starting to form. Next thing you know, we're looking at some of the other Eastern Rim nations. But here's an interesting dynamic. This weekend, this coming weekend, which, by the way, pay attention, it's Mother's Day weekend. But this coming weekend, not as a Mother's Day celebration, but as at least a part of the trade negotiations, China and the U.S. are meeting in person in Switzerland. So U.S. envoy is meeting with a Chinese envoy to discuss the tariff situations. Trump says the signals are there that China wanted this meeting because they're the ones who initiated it. That's interesting. I find that to be very interesting. If I'm not mistaken, isn't China our biggest trade partner?
I believe overall? So. I can double check on that, but I believe
Are we their biggest or are they our biggest? I think we are their biggest, for one. In other words, they sell us more stuff. What do you got?
While China was once one of America's largest trading partners, Mexico now holds that position. China remains a significant trading partner, however. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
China is the second largest trading partner after Mexico.
Okay. Still huge. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. The U.S. announced on Tuesday, according to Reuters, that Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and his trade representative Jameson Greer will meet with China's top economic officials on Saturday in Switzerland, making an initial step in potential negotiations over a blistering trade war that's disrupting the global economy. So this is the big one. When you have the two big economies of the two largest nations, one of which is the world's only superpower, us, and China, which is what we would call our near peer adversary. That's gonna have the most impact on the economy. But here's the thing: all the other trade deals, if they are ancillary, well, they're not ancillary. Each one has their own meaning. But if the other trade deals are happening, all it does is begin to isolate China on the trade world, and people begin to find their way around China. I've already heard of companies that literally saw the tariffs being put on China and said, "I'm getting my goods, my logistics from somewhere else."
I was just about to bring up that point exactly. And the country that they're going to flee to the most is India.
Probably.
And if we can strike a deal with India too, that could be a major checkmate to China to have them come to the table. So I don't know. The supposed trade war that everybody's freaking out about, if these deals start to rack up, I could see us coming out on top against China with it.
Yeah, I agree. The article I got here from Reuters also says China had indicated that the U.S. had asked them to come talk. Trump's response to that was, they said we initiated? Yeah, I think they ought to go back and study their files. Asked if he was willing to reduce the tariffs to get China to negotiate, Trump said no. That's like saying, hey, will you promise them something ahead of time? No. He said, we were losing with China on trade $1 trillion a year. More, actually, Trump said. You know what we're losing now? Nothing. That's not bad. So, yeah, the planned talks come after weeks of escalating tensions. I get it. By the way, the press made a big deal about baby strollers. Did you see that?
I did not.
Baby strollers.
Doesn't surprise me, but.
This is why the other day we had a soundbite with Trump doing an interview with Kristen Welker from Meet the Press. ABC? Anyway, mainstream media girl. Boy, that sounded very, I'm so sorry. Was that sexist to me? Yes.
Mainstream media person.
All right, my misogynist self is going to go ahead and continue. But the bottom line is Trump did an interview with her and he said, you keep talking about things like strollers. Why don't you talk about how great gas prices are right now? Why don't you say, Mr. President, look what you've done with gas prices. But no, all you want to do is talk about baby strollers. Baby strollers don't drive the economy. Now, that's his point. So Besant said the administration is considering exempting car seats, baby strollers, and cribs from the 145% tariffs in place on China. So I guess we get a lot of our baby strollers.
I was about to say,
I mean, the world of newborns is struggling because now they're having to use an older baby stroller. Yeah, I tell you what, here's the deal. Go on Craigslist, buy you a used baby stroller, just clean it, you'll be fine. Just saying.
I had no idea we were... we got so much of that from China. That's news to me.
I did not know that.
But then again, I'm not a parent. So,
they are the hub of baby strollers around the world. All God's children have been raised in a Chinese baby stroller. Danny from Madison says, we just want to let you know that I was tuning in pretty heavy traffic with a lot of people around when your screaming goat sign went off and it scared the blank out of me and I locked up my brakes. I am so sorry, Danny. We probably ought to give y'all more warning.
I think that's the second text we've gotten about that exact thing with the goat, about people being in traffic and getting scared.
Yeah, so well, here we go. Public service announcement. Brace yourselves. Panicking goat sound. Oh, wow. Shag Nasty the Atheist checking in again. He says, when we get all this tariff money, it's going to be spent on healthcare and modernizing infrastructure, right? It'll be spent on all kinds of good things, Shag. That's what we do.
You know what? Most importantly, we'll get spent on is getting rid of our debt. So
Okay. Here's the other thing too. When you say tariff money, I assume you're meaning just the tariff revenues, but the revenues that come from the companies exporting their goods is money to the private sector. So if we see an increased market share for U.S. products around the world, that creates more private sector revenue. The tariff revenue, yes, that goes to the treasury. But the private sector, they just get to grow. By the way, quick soundbite here, warning from Jeremy from Madison. He says 565 West in our Huntsville market is at a standstill. So, okay, that means heading towards Decatur. If you're leaving out of the Arsenal or heading, you know, west on 565, and at some point it's a standstill. I hate to hear that. Y'all be careful on the road. In the meantime, I'm taking the last break of the day here on a thankful Thursday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.